speaks. Okay, so let's begin with a word of prayer and we'll look at this. Let's pray. Our beloved Lord God, we do thank you for this day and thank you for your great love for us. Thank you for the gift of your Son Jesus and the gift of your Holy Spirit. And we do pray that you'd guide us and lead us and teach us, equip us, train us, make us your instruments and work through our lives. There's so much need around us. People simply need Jesus. So transform us and work with us. We pray this, Father, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me, remember we're talking about the story of God. Let me just quickly review the story of God. And once you kind of, you know, begin, understand it, that it begins with seven seas and it's easy to kind of remember. I'm going to go down the seven seas. We finished the last sea last week. We have creation, then we have crisis, the fall, we have the call. God called Abraham and his people to on mission. Then we have the communication. God tried to communicate his message through his people, through prophets, through philosophers, through teachers, through people throughout time. Then we have the big C, which is Christ. Christ came, God's gift to save us. Then we have the sixth C is community, the early church community and community today, the church. We are God's people. God has put us here on earth to share his story on a mission. The seventh C we looked at last week was his consummation. There is an end. And next week we'll, I think we'll finish next week. I'll kind of put it all together as if I'm telling somebody. But remember when we talk about consummation, we looked at last week that there's four major views of eschatology. If you have that piece of paper that shows you the four major views, do you have that, Julie? Did you pick that up?
Yeah.
Does it have the graphs on the back? Deck. Okay, so those are the four major views of eschatology, meaning the study of the end. There's the amill, the premill, the postmill, and the dispensationalist. But when we talk about consummation, part of when we do talk with people, that's where we get to the part of the story where we talk about death. And what happens when we die and resurrection and the future and life forever, eternal life. So that part of the story is important. People want to know. So that's consummation, okay? Within the story of God, we have the mission of God. And again, what we are here to do now is to tell people the story of God. Okay? The mission of God is that. The mission of God is to tell people the story of God. But the mission of God is bigger than we think. The mission of God is found throughout the whole Bible. The whole Bible, you'll find passages throughout the whole Bible that tell us what the mission of God is. Okay? So let me just go on this, and I'm going to read from a quote from a book that just came out, I think, a year ago, called The Mission of God by Christopher J.H. Wright. It's one of those books that the man must have spent years writing. I mean, it's one of those thick books. This is what he writes on page 62. Whose mission is it anyway? The answer, it seems to me, could be expressed as a paraphrase of the song of the redeemed in the new creation. Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, Revelation 7:10. Since the whole Bible is the story of how this God, remember, the whole Bible is the story of God. That's what we've seen, okay? Since the whole Bible is the story of this God, our God, has brought about his salvation for the whole cosmos, represented in concentric circles around God's throne in the magnificent neck-craning vision of Revelations 4 through 7. If you read through Revelation 4 and 7 through 7, you find that at the center is God's throne, and around God is all kinds of creatures, all kinds of beings that are worshiping God. And that really tells you God's mission is to redeem everyone, to redeem creation. Okay? We can affirm with equal validity, mission belongs to our God. Mission, and I think this is critical. This is kind of the where we're going with this whole idea of mission. And I think this book, honestly, has been a critical book transforming the way we see mission in the church. Okay, I don't know how to explain to you. Sometimes God brings people that write something that just changes the paradigm of how we see things. This book is a paradigm changer. It's changing how we see the paradigm. And the paradigm is right here in this passage, okay? Let me read it again. Mission is not ours. Mission is God's. Okay? It is God's mission. Does that make sense to us? Mission is not ours. Mission is God's. It is God's mission. Certainly, the mission of God is the prior reality out of which flows any mission that we get involved in. So from the very beginning, God had a mission. Or can we say this? When God created all that he created, God had something in mind. That was the mission. Or it's the big story is the mission. Within the big story is the mission of God. God had a mission. Okay? Or as it has been put nicely, it is not so much the case that God has a mission for his church in the world, but that God has a church for his mission in the world. I like that. I think that line, you need to underline, that's the key line. Let me read it again. That line is key. So if you underline any line, that's the one that really explains to us what he means by this. Remember, this book is 5 pages long, at least. So he really develops this whole idea in a very beautiful way, but this summarizes it, okay? Let me read it again. It is not so much the case that God has a mission for his church, but that God has a church for his mission in the world. So first of all, we have God and his mission. Got it? So there's this mission. Now God, who has this mission, has chosen the church to use the church in his mission. You see the difference? It's a little paradigm shift. It's a little twist in the way we think, but it's critical. Let me read it again. It is not so much the case that God has a mission for his church. You know, we used to think, well, God has a mission for his church. No, the shift is that God has a church for his mission. So it is God's mission, and now, how is God going to fulfill his mission today in the world? By using the church. So from the very beginning, the church has a purpose. Do you see this? And the purpose of the church is not just to be saved and to go to heaven. The purpose of the church is for God to use us to fulfill his mission. Okay? So like I said to you before, when sin fell, happened, God looked at his creation and said, I still have a mission. Who am I going to use for my mission? Abraham. And here comes Jesus, the descendant of Abraham, says, he's the one. He's really the key to the mission. And now Jesus says, church. So God has a mission. And that's why the word that's being used today in the language of Christianity is that we have a missional, that we are a missional church. We are here for mission. God has a mission, and God says, who do I use for my mission? And those who receive Jesus, God says, I'm using you for my mission. So just look at it in a personal perspective. Julie, I choose you to use you to accomplish my mission, says God. See that? It's a little shift in our way of thinking, but it's critical. The way I pray to God is this way. I'll say to God, God, keep me in a very deep, intimate relationship with you. Relationship, I call it yada from the Hebrew. And out of that relationship, use me to fulfill your mission. Because if we're not in a relationship, forget it. So keep me tightly in this relationship with you. And out of that relationship, use me as your instrument to fulfill your mission. And so the mission is telling the story, telling a story, sharing our faith. The mission's pretty big, but those are the keys to the mission. But exactly. Exactly. Yes. Really, I just narrowed it down because there are seven steps. I'll pray them later. Because there are seven things that I pray at least, more than three. But yeah, keep that in mind because I'll come back to that, okay? Let me go on. Mission was not made for the church. The church was made for mission. Thank you. Remember, we're reading the church because remember, the perspective of God is community. We have to understand ourselves as a person that is a part of a community. Got it? Historically, remember that there was some time in history where a shift happened where the focus became the individual as opposed to the community. In the biblical language, the focus was always the community, the church, the people. And I'm a part of that people. So when we say church, we're talking the church. And we're a part of that church, you and I. Okay? So it's a mission that God called the church to fulfill. And we're part of the church. It is God's mission. The Bible presents itself to us fundamentally as a narrative, a story. A historical narrative at one level, but a grand meta-narrative at a meta-narrative. And that's what we said. That's what we've been looking at. The Bible is this gigantic meta-narrative that has seven parts. It's a big story. And we're part of that story. Okay? Do you understand this concept of mission then, this little shift? Now, Dr. Mark Young is now the president of Denver Seminary, where I went to school ages ago when the dinosaurs were still walking on this earth.
Yeah.
And there's an article, I get a magazine from Denver Seminary, and this magazine is called Making All Things New, The Mission of God. That's the article in the magazine called Engage. This is what he says to summarize the mission of God. Movement. The mission of God implies that God takes the initiative to move redemptively toward humanity. So the mission of God is God's initiative. God began the mission. It didn't begin with us. It is God's mission. Okay? And we see that initiative in the incarnation of Jesus. Jesus, God, came to earth as a man. Okay? Beneficence. The mission of God implies that God seeks what is good for his creation. And here, remember, because the mission of God is not just, it's all creation. The mission of God has to do not just with humans, but all creation. Part of that mission for humans is salvation, obviously. But it's bigger than that. So God wants good for his creation. Jesus came to die for us so that we may have eternal life. John 3:16. Sacrifice. The mission of God implies that God willingly paid the price for our redemption, no matter how great the cost. That's found in Philippians 2:6-8, where it says that Jesus made himself nothing. He became servant. He died. He gave his life for us. So there's a sacrifice, but the sacrifice was made by God, not by us. Hope. The mission of God implies that God's redemptive engagement with creation is moving toward an end, and that he has already foreseen and ordained that end. There's a consummation, there's an end. And we know what the end says. It's like people say, we have read the end of the story. We know what's going to happen. It's a fact, we're told. And that's hope. So the hope of the Christian is no matter what happens in this crazy world, it's going to be good. No matter what happens in my own little story, death, it's going to be okay. And remember, we share that. Part of our sharing that with, for example, Mark, who's near death. We don't know how soon Mark's going to die. Hospice said 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. So you just never know. But, you know, I don't know how to explain to you. From Cindy, you saw them the moment you called me to have Mark come and see me. What was the state? Exactly. Then he came. Exactly. Then he came. He received the gift of Jesus. And what a transformation. Because now he has this hope, this confidence, this fact. Got it? So that's critical. Okay, any questions so far on the mission of God. Let me read again the main line so we understand what we're saying. Ready? Again? The main line, the big statement is, it is not so much the case that God has a mission for his church, but that God has a church for his mission. Mission was not made for the church. The church was made for mission, God's mission. God saved us, we're going to go to heaven, but while we're here, we have a purpose. And that's why I was, you know, if you always heard me say to you, if the whole end of this was going to heaven, then why not be saved, go to heaven? There's a reason why we're here still alive, and that is because God is using us. Out of a deep, intimate, yet dark relationship with God, God is using us to fulfill his mission. We are his instruments. We really are his pencil. Got it? Questions on that before we go through some passages that help us to visualize the story of God and the mission of God in the story of God. I just picked a few, and when I started picking a few, I'm thinking, we can't read all these. I could have put more, and I thought, okay, I better tone it down. That's part of the mission. Really, the mission of God, and we're going to read in some passages, the mission of God is God wants to redeem all of creation. Because all of creation fell. When humanity fell, we brought sin, evil, wickedness, and all of the creation was affected by it. So technically, God wants to redeem the whole creation. Part of that creation is humanity, obviously, so he wants to redeem us and save us. So our mission is to tell people the story, to tell the good news, to evangelize, but it's also, it's almost like God is saying, but broaden your perspective, it's about all of creation. Well, there's some passages that are coming. But what I mean by all creation, I mean all of creation, technically. The cosmos. Everything. Earth and all of earth. And again, there's some passages, there's some, when you start reading scripture through this perspective of God's mission, and God's mission is redeem his creation humanity, humanity evangelize, tell the good news, tell the story. So for me, that becomes a focus for us. That yes, I'm here for God to share with through me the story of God, to tell people about Jesus. But it's also to pray for the whole creation and to treat the whole creation as if it's God's holy creation. So it encompasses bigger things. So let's go to a beginning. So let's go to at the beginning we already said this. So let's go to Genesis 1, 26, 31. You there? You're going to be there in a minute. In Genesis 1, 26, 20, 31, God creates humanity in his image. And right away, when he creates humanity in his image, he already gives us a mission, a directive. He tells humanity, humans, Adam and Eve, what he wants. So Kelsey, read that for us real quickly, and we'll see, you know, these are the, all these passages, and remember, I just picked a few, they're all over the place. Throughout the whole Bible, these passages describing God's mission.
God said, "Let us make mankind in our image after our likeness, and let them have supreme authority over the fish of the sea, over the air, and the beasts, and over all the earth, and over everything that creeps on the earth."
So, what part of the mission is that? What do we call that part of the mission that God gave Adam and Eve, humanity? And the word that we're using now is the word stewardship, of the creation. Take care of it. Because we're his image bearers. We're the apex of his creation. We're made in the image of God. And God chose us, called us on a mission to take care of his creation. See what I'm saying? So sometimes the mission becomes bigger than other, you know. But I don't know if you guessed it, but when I hear that, I'm going, that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
And we forget.
Exactly. Exactly. We're stewards. That's what I'm saying. That's why that's when we forget the mission and we see things from this perspective. And that's what I'm always saying to us. Always be asking God to change our paradigm. Because whether you and I like it or not, growing up in the world gives us its paradigm, its narratives. Here's this narrative that's powerful. Take care of my creation. You're my instruments, my stewards, to take care of my creation. And read on.
fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Okay, here's my amplifier. Using all its vast resources in the service of God and man. Have to communal with fish and sea, the birds of the air, and for every living creature in the earth. And God said, see, I've given you every plant, and every seed, and on the face of all the land, and every tree with seed and its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to all the animals on the earth, and every bird, the air, and everything that creeps on the ground, to everything in which there is a breath of life, I've given everything and plants for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made.
Okay, so God saw his creation and it was very good. And if you were to happen to keep reading through Genesis 1 and further on Genesis 2, you'll see how God has this beautiful perspective on his creation. There's one passage that really grabbed me a while back when I was reading through this part, that it talks about the trees. And it's this beautiful perspective of God looking at the trees and saying, take care of my trees. I mean, it's funny. But that's our mission. We're stewards of the creation. Okay? So, but then the fall happened. The mission wasn't taken away, but it got twisted. So now we have sin in the world and all the pain, the brokenness. When the fall happened, remember, everything fell apart. Now let's go to Genesis, the call of Abraham, Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Oh, thank you. It's up there. Thank you, Brad. Okay. Somebody read what Brad's putting up there for us. Can you read that, Julie?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse.
Do you hear the mission at that last statement? Who's going to be blessed through Abraham? All the peoples of the earth. Abraham, through you and through your descendants, from which will come the Messiah, I'm going to bless all the nations. That's the mission. That's why we share the story. Because God wants to bless all people. And what's the highest blessing? God. Knowing God. Having a relationship with God through Jesus. It's beautiful. It, right from the very beginning. After the mess that we read in Genesis 3 through 11, here comes this beautiful call. I will bless the nations through you. At the end of the day, when God speaks this to Abraham, the vision that God gives Abraham is all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Abraham, you have a calling to be a blessing. You know, yeah, people will bless you, people will curse you, but at the end of the day, all people will be blessed through you. Your job is, your mission is all people. Yeah. Past him, when you get to different places, but the mission never changed. That's the mission. Yeah. Yeah, the mission never changed. I mean, when we get into the dealings of fallen human nature, remember, the Bible is a story of fallen nature. I mean, we're going to read things that God didn't want or things that happened. But throughout the whole thing, God was trying to use Abraham, or seeking to use Abraham and his people to bring this truth to all the nations. That's why the best example for me to tell you is I always use Jonah. Because Jonah is called by God to go to a heathen nation, which is really what God always wanted. Jonah says no, and God... So I think Jonah is a good example of a person of God who lost sight of the mission. And yet God still used Jonah. Remember, at the end of the day, when the Ninevites repent, Jonah gets mad at God because they did repent, and God didn't destroy them. So then we see the human side of us wanting them to be destroyed, and God saying, I forgive them, and Jonah get mad at God for forgiving those pagans, those Gentiles. So even with Jonah, you see very clearly the conflict with the mission and the human. Okay, now let's go to Genesis 15 because it's still part of this calling of Abraham. Genesis 15, 4 through 6, and if it's up there, who wants to read that? Who else can see this and read it up there? Cindy, can you read it?
Yeah.
Okay. And here, you remember, this is part of the mission. God is making very clear that Abraham and his descendants. But remember, once we get into the book of Romans and Galatians, who are the true descendants of Abraham? Those who have faith in Jesus, which then it expands. Remember, it's hard because here the Jewish people are being asked to really expand their perspective. The people of God are not just the Jews. It's all people who have faith in Jesus. So always God is expanding the paradigm, and we have a hard time getting out of our little box. Have you ever noticed how hard it is to get out of our little boxes?
It was
difficult. I mean, honestly, as you said, Cindy, you all know this. Many still haven't gotten outside that box. It was hard for them to accept this new beautiful paradigm that it was for all people. So Paul has to hint at it in Romans and Colossians, where it says, in Jesus there's neither Greek nor Jew, slave nor... And he's saying those things because that's the new paradigm.
We don't want to change things that new ways.
Right. Exactly. So that's why this, you know, as we see the mission of God now, we see, well, that's really what it was. It's big. Okay, now move on to what I call the Torah vision. And because... remember, the first five books of the Bible are called the Torah, or okay, the law. Here, we read in Deuteronomy 32, verses 1 and 2, kind of, again, this vision of the mission of what God wants. Are you there, Kelsey? Can you read that one for us? Did you hear who God is addressing this to? Listen who? Go back to verses 1 and 2. Listen who? And who? There it is. Listen, earth, meaning all earth. Listen to my teaching. Can you see the vision of God here? It's the vision of God was so big. And the people missed it. Sorry. Listen, earth. Listen to my teaching as it falls like dew. Who? Just the Jewish people? No. The earth. All people. That was God's dream. God's heart. Okay? Now jump to verse 43. And go ahead and read it, Kelsey. Listen to again. Remember, I'm asking you to look at it from this new paradigm, but I'm giving you this perspective of this mission of God. Because all of a sudden you go, oh, it was there. Read it. Who? And remember, when it says ye nations, the word in Hebrew is goyim. The goy. And if you're the word goyim, it always means those other people outside of us. God is addressing the goyim. The people missed it. It's clear. I mean, I'm telling you, you can read these passages all over the Old Testament. Exactly, we do the same thing.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's why we have to see. God is always saying, expand the view. Expand your perspective. Read on. Okay. I am Yahweh. And I have this, can I put it this way? And I have this mission for all people. Now let's read on to the wisdom literature. The Psalms, in the Psalms, the Proverbs, you read this all over the Psalms. The Psalms are filled with this vision of the mission. It's a beautiful thing. So Psalm 96, verses 1 and 2. Who can read it? Mary, can you read it from, can you see it around the thing? It's in the... Who? Do you see the mission? Do you see the heart of God? Who does he want to sing to him in praise? Everyone. We done. It's coming. Thank you, Brad. Proclaim his salvation day after day. And basically, in the Greek, it's the sense is proclaim his salvation to all the peoples. There it is. And remember, this is John 1 verse. You could go anywhere in the Psalms and just find it. Okay? Now we move to the prophets, and the prophets do the same thing. The first prophet I want us to look at is Isaiah 43, 10 through 13. And the prophets really expand this, okay? The prophets are really trying to give us a whole new perspective, a whole new vision. So Isaiah 43, 10 through 13. Dan, can you read that up there? Who are his witnesses? His people. Do you see what he's saying to Israel? You're my witnesses. Oh, where do we hear that word in Acts 1:8? You shall be witnesses of me. It's just repeated. What God always wanted is repeated. Yeah.
But they got a chance.
That's what we're to do, is just be witnesses. Exactly. Okay, read on. You're my witnesses that I am God. You're my witnesses to tell the nations, I, Yahweh, am God. That's, see it? It's beautiful, I think. It's powerful. Then, Isaiah chapter 49, verse 22. Okay, who wants to read this one? Lyle, can you read that one? Can you see it up there? To whom? The nations, the peoples, the Goyim. See the broadening? You see it now, how clear this vision was? It was big. In Isaiah 53:7. Lisa, can you read that? You know who that's talking about, right? That whole chapter 53 is about Jesus and how he would die for the peoples. Then Jeremiah 31. I mean, I could have picked Ezekiel. Okay? Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. And this vision of Jeremiah here is one of the beautiful passages for me in Scripture. It just jumps out. Okay? So Jeremiah 31, 31. Ooh, can you read that? Now, let me stop right there. Remember I told you before that phrase, that little phrase describes the heart of God throughout the whole time? I will be their God and they will be my people. God had been crying out through all the Bible, I want to be your God. and I want you to be my people. Just constant, over and over again. And now God says, I'm going to start, there's a new covenant coming. Well, we know who brought the new covenant. It's Jesus. And listen to what the new covenant will be like once God establishes it. Verse 30, the next verses.
No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, hate the one enemy, and the least of them is the way, serve the Lord. But as you forgive their wickedness, and you remember the
sin. And there's what God wanted. Notice it says, they will all know me. See that? That's the vision of God. That we would all personally know God. So no one will have to teach us know God, because we will all know God from the least to the greatest. There's the vision, there's the mission, there's the passion, there's the heart of God. That's what God has always wanted. And we are here as instruments of this beautiful, we're instruments of this vision, this mission, this passion of God. To share this with people. God wants you to know him personally, intimately. God wants to be known by you, yada. Remember I said the yada relationship? There it is. They will know me, yada. They will all have this intimate yada relationship with me. Now you see the, I don't know, if, can I say it this way? Are you able to see the heart of God right here? That's what God has always wanted. And he's called the people to tell the people, to share the word, to tell the story. Then we move into Jesus, the Messiah. So Matthew 28, 18 through 20. This is what we call the Great Commission. Kelsey, you again. There's the commission. That's what we're here for, to make disciples. To baptize and to teach and to show them. Okay? Then Luke 24, 45 through 48. Brad, read it. You see that? Go back to the previous verse, verse 47. Listen to how clear it is again. Jesus makes it clear that this will be preached to all nations. Remember? Old Testament, New Testament, it's right there. And then Acts 1:8. Becky, can you read Acts 1:8 for us as soon as it gets up there? It'll be up there. Brad. Thank you, Brad. I didn't know you were doing that. This really helps. I like it. Here we go. Okay, Becky. Okay.
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.
There it is. You'll be my witnesses. How? When you receive the power. The power of the Holy Spirit. What do you think? Isn't that beautiful? Then let's go to Romans 8, 20-25. The passage that explains this creation thing that I told you earlier, Kelsey. Here comes the one that explains it. So I'll have you read it. Romans 8, 22-25. Did you hear it? The whole creation. The whole creation has been waiting, groaning. And we have the message about what God has done through Jesus. Remember I said to you earlier another time that at the fall, alienation happened. We were alienated from God, from each other, from ourselves, and from creation. Through Jesus, we have reconciliation to God, to each other, to ourselves, and to creation. That's the vision. So I guess what I'm saying is, I'm just asking God to expand it so that we all receive this larger vision. It's beautiful. We're here reconciled to God, to each other, to ourselves, and to his beautiful creation. I don't know what that does, but for me, it just gives me this, ooh, this beautiful, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful vision. We are. We are. Exactly. So that and obviously God knows that because that's how he created it. So that's why this vision is beautiful. Then Romans 10, 12 through 15. Okay, whose turn? Julie, let's go to you again. Do you see the bigger vision again? It's clear now. Okay, go ahead. And guess who he's quoting in that passage? Isaiah. See how beautiful the feet of those who bring good news to all people. There's the mission. And then let's finish with the apocalypse, the revelation, the vision. And the apocalypse, you see this gigantic vision, and it's beautiful throughout the apocalypse, throughout the songs that are being sung in Revelation. So Revelation 5, 6 through 10. Then I saw a lamb looking as if he had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The Lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent into the earth. The Lamb is Jesus, by the way. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, is what it says. Sorry. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the elders. Oh, I read that already. Yeah, go next one. And they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and every language and people and nation." Do you see it? "You have made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." There's the vision. So I put here, these are our prayers. That God will fulfill his mission through us. And I really want us to understand here, okay? Really understand that we are here because we are here for God to fulfill his mission through us. For God to work through us. For Jesus to work through us, to fulfill his mission and his ministries through us. The story of God, the mission of God, the heart of God, the love of God, the vision of God, the passion of God. We have all those now here. And it's beautiful. So let's close in prayer. Our beloved Lord God, today we come before you and we throw ourselves at your feet. We place this church, West Liberty Christian Fellowship. We ask you to revive us, to fill us with your spirit, to fulfill your mission through us, to build your kingdom, to do your will, to do your good, to shine your light, and to be your salt, to make disciples of Jesus, to share your good news with the world all around us. We pray this. We submit ourselves to you in this. Do fill us with your Spirit and your power and fulfill your mission through us. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.